Every day, in communities just like yours, men and women devote their lives to building our economies, brick by brick and job by job. These are their stories. You're listening to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers, hosted by Tim Tarantine and Amanda Harrison.
Hey everyone, we are so glad you're joining us today for From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers. As you know by now, I'm Amanda and I'm here with my friend Tim.
Hey.
And we are excited to share with you another one of North America's best and brightest. Tim, I understand that you had the pleasure of speaking with somebody from the Indy Partnership this week.
I did, and I'm fired up. I feel like firing up my engines for this guy. He is not only close to the Indianapolis 500, but this guy has a pride and a passion for the greater Indianapolis area and that region like no other. He loves leadership. He's really, really concerned and working hard on how to make public-private partnerships work well in economic development. And he's just an honest, straightforward guy. I loved this interview. It was really insightful and a lot of fun.
All right, so without further ado, we will introduce you to the wisdom of Marty Van Ags.
Marty, this is Tim Tarantine. Welcome to the podcast, and congratulations for being voted one of North America's top 50 economic developers. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you for the honor. I feel honored and excited about that opportunity.
Well deserved. Let's dive right in, Marty. We want to get to know who you are. What's one thing everyone should know about you?
Well, I guess the one thing that everyone should know about me, and maybe it's what they always ask me, is, yes, I always wear a bow tie. So I'm always wearing a bow tie, and I think it sets me apart from everyone else.
You are a man after my own heart and style, by the way. So it's all wonderful right to know that about you. So let's talk about this career that you've chosen. Economic development is obviously something you're passionate about. Tell us about why or how you chose this career. How did it start for you?
Well, I think like many economic developers, the career chose me. I was involved. I started out in city management. I have a master's degree in public administration. I worked for a number of Chicago suburbs and then moved over back to northern Illinois in the Rockford, Illinois area where I'm from, and was working for a small community there doing everything from negotiating the contract with unions and police departments to doing economic development, zoning, community development, and all that type of thing. And the regional economic development group, new leader, saw me and recruited me, and that took off my economic development career.
Wow. So knowing that you've been in it as long as you have, how do you define success for yourself as a leader? And then maybe just a little bit about your organization. We're going to talk much more about your organization here in a moment. But how do you define success for you?
Well, success for me isn't necessarily about how big the paycheck is or how many plaques are on my wall. I think a lot of people are involved in economic development because they feel a love or a passion for helping people, helping businesses, helping individuals grow and succeed. And so when I look at the overall numbers of what we're doing in different communities and we measure success that way, you know, that to me is success from an organizational level. But from a personal level, it's more about honesty and integrity. I have a little saying I like to say, which is be righteous, be transparent, and be excellent. In other words, do the right thing for the right reason. Be transparent about it. To hide your goals or your reasons for doing things is not good, and be the best you can at what you're doing. And so when I follow that little phrase, that to me signifies success. Just going to say a little bit about the organization is the Indy Partnership. Here has been around a number of years, back in 2012, which seems like a long time ago now, because we're almost into 2015 as we speak today. We merged with the Chamber. So the Indy Partnership had been an independent organization for a long time, now merged with the Chamber. But yet we're still out there doing economic development like many of my competitor cities are doing.
Sure. So tell us one thing about your community that makes it unique. When you think about the partnership and the things you're doing, what's specifically unique about Indy?
Well, I've been here 2 years in March, and I came from Illinois. And what I noticed about Indianapolis is right away that it's a performance-oriented and risk-oriented community. Now, a lot of people think of the Midwest, that, you know, big city like Indianapolis, right in the middle of an agricultural state like Indiana. What does he mean by that? Performance in the sense of the Indy 500. You got man and machine striving to work together to perform and excel at very high speeds. You've got the NCAA headquarters here. You've got amateur sports here. You've got companies like Lilly and Roche and Allison and Rolls Royce, all exceeding expectations and being leaders at the very high levels of performance. And so I think that we're very much a performance-oriented city. And also the thing that people might not realize is we're very risk-oriented. We take a lot of big risks. The Super Bowl of a couple of years ago is a great example. A lot of communities wouldn't take that risk. The NCAA moving here from Kansas City a number of years ago, of building the RCA Dome, or the Hoosier Dome as they called it, before they even had a football team. Some big risks have been taken in this community over the years, and they result in a very high level of performance.
So let's talk about risk. I mean, let's peel that onion back a little bit. You know, they say we often learn more from our failures than our successes. Tell us about a project or deal that fell through when the risk was not met with a, you know, tangible, palpable reward at the end or an announcement. Tell us what you learned. Tell us about a project, you know, that fell through and you learned from it. What did you get from the failure?
I think when I saw that question earlier, I thought, I've maybe not been here long enough to have seen some of the failures, but just even recently, we were competing for a shared services center, and I went to another Midwest city, and we had several communities in the region and ourselves had a presentation to the site consultant and their client, and it was one of the first presentations I've been involved with the Indy Partnership, and I made a big assumption that everybody knew exactly what to say, how to do it, what they're going to say, and we're going to sell the Indy region really well. Well, we didn't. We didn't do a very good job at all. And in the end, they went to another city. And I would at least want to believe that it was based on we didn't have the right building or the right workforce or whatever it might be. And I think a large part of it was based on that fact. But then the site consultant came back to us and gave us a pretty hearty critique and well-deserved about our presentation. And so while it's not a big risk, it certainly makes you think that when you do things like this, when you're working with site consultants, when you're working with people from outside the community, they're making major multi-million-dollar decisions about investing in your community, that you can't take the details for granted. It's easy to stand up and give a presentation and talk about your community. Anybody can do that. But if you're not well-rehearsed, if you're not seeking to impress on the very first moment that the person walks in the door, you are piling on and you're adding to reasons why a company or a site selector should vote against you. And so we are changing that format, and we're working very diligently and closely with our partners to make sure that when we do go forward working with site consultants, that they're going to see the best of us versus the mediocre of us. So yeah. The adage I said, be excellent, didn't come through on that. And it was because I wasn't paying attention. But those things are, details do matter.
Sure. So having learned what you've learned over time, you've obviously been working to close some of the gaps you found in the efforts where you didn't necessarily win. Tell me today, in today's ever-changing environment, what's keeping you up at night?
You know, I was having a hard time thinking about what keeps me up at night.
Because, that's a good sign, right?
Well, I know the question isn't, you know, what really keeps me up at night, because frankly, nothing does. I sleep very well, and I do it because I train myself to do that. But I guess what keeps me up at night is it's harder and harder for a regional community to come together in a unified manner to make a statement about your brand.
Yeah.
And I think it's harder and harder because there's so much at stake. Individual communities, suburban communities outside of Indy or Cleveland or Chicago, wherever you might be, are there because they want their own identity. They don't want their own personality. And it's hard to make sure that they're able to maintain that, yet still sell the brand, which is the Indy region. A former mayor of Indianapolis once said, you can't be a suburb of nothing. And so, in other words, the city of Indianapolis is very, very important.
Sure.
to the suburbs, they should realize that. And I think most of them do, and vice versa. And so it's very difficult in a regional economic development situation to keep everybody focused on the bigger picture, which is selling the region globally or marketing the region globally, selling it locally.
Yeah, Marty, that's a great segue into our final question here. As you look into the future, what do you feel will be the most important thing for communities or regions and economic developers to focus on? Where should we spend our energy as a profession?
Well, what I just said is important, obviously, to keep the larger picture in mind. But I think that as economic developers, we're pressured by our state governments, our local governments, and those who have an immediate and compelling investment in what we do, not only in time, but also financially, to produce results. And what this has forced us to do as economic developers is to go for the lowest hanging fruit and do whatever it takes to get it. And what you do when you do that is you start ignoring, and it's easy to do, and I'm not blaming anyone, but it's human nature. You start ignoring what's under your feet. You start ignoring what's in your own backyard. And so I believe that in the future, and it's going to be the future here in Indianapolis, is that in order to have a real sustainable attraction program, you have to have a solid foundation. You can't build a roof or a house unless you have a solid foundation. And that solid foundation, to me, is a robust, strong business retention and expansion program. If you are helping your existing businesses grow, if you're paying attention, if you know who they are, if you know their reason for existence and their reasons for failure, if you understand the obstacles they face to be successful, and you help them, and you help them well, and you're successful at it, that is your attraction program. Who wouldn't want to come to your community? Who wouldn't want to be in Indianapolis knowing that this is the place where you come and build a business? You're going to grow, you're going to expand, people are going to be there to help you, there's going to be a support system. So The future for Indianapolis is strong BRE, business retention expansion, which then gives you the foundation to continue to do a lot of attraction, which we've been fairly successful at over the years.
Marty, you obviously have a lot of passion around this. Your work is well noted. And so I want to thank you for your time today and for your passion for our industry. Thank you for all that you're doing there in the Indiana area. And thanks for being one of North America's top 50 economic developers.
Well, I'm honored, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk a little bit about it.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.com or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.